Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christos aneste. Christou numuriuku. Christos is auferstanden. El Messiacham. Christos andiat. I greet you on the Pascha of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to tell you a few things you should do and not do this week. We're just kind of noodling a little bit. And I think this is a very important week in our lives. So let us live it to the full. And let us live it with all the joy that the Lord wants us to have. So here's a few do's and don'ts. Number one, do. Eat a steak. And eat anything you want on any day. Number two, don't eat any tofu. It's canonically forbidden. Number three, do pray the Paschal Hours in lieu of your morning and evening prayers. I've spoken about this many times. It's very important. It's a little bit of prayer. It's less prayer than you should normally be doing. Perhaps sometimes it's an increase in prayer for us. But, maladiets, as long as we pray. Okay? So do pray the Paschal Hours. They're available in just about any prayer book. I've handed them out before. They're online on our website. Do pray the Paschal Hours. Do not pray any of the Psalms. No Psalm 50. None of the other Psalms. In the church, we don't use the Psalter the entire week. We only pray a very few select verses from the Psalms and the Prakimana, the Lord I have cried. Otherwise, we omit the Psalter. Because the Psalter is fundamentally a penitential book. So we are supposed to now be living in the resurrection. In the resurrection, there is no penitence anymore. There's no sorrow, no sighing. Do read John and the Acts. If you don't read Scripture very much, this is a good time to start. This is a perfect time to start in the grace of the resurrection. We are reading now, serializing St. John's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. We started on the very night of Pascha itself. And we will be reading St. John's Gospel for quite some time now and the Acts. And you should read them with anticipation and expectation. You don't have to be scientific about it. If you have 5 minutes to read, read 5 minutes every day. If you stop in the middle of a verse, maybe you want to finish the verse and then you're done in your 5 minutes. Or you could read a chapter a day. Or something of that nature. You could also read the daily readings as well. But it's very powerful to read the gospel in its entirety, not in the little snippets that the church has for the daily readings, but to read chapter 1, then 2, then 3. And if you do that over and over again, you become a scripture scholar. And it's important. Do not do any prostrations this week. Prostrations are not done at all in the church. And usually not, as the church says, in the cell. So, unless you have an overriding reason to do prostrations, don't do prostrations. Do plan on coming to the St. Thomas services. New Sunday, St. Thomas Sunday next week. That's, in my opinion, the most important Sunday of the year. More important than Pascha. Because we must live according to the resurrection. The Lord has bestowed a great bounty of grace upon us. Now we must use that grace wisely. We've been given the talents, right? As the scripture says, we must use those talents. We must trade with those talents. And the way you trade is by living the Christian life. And come to St. Thomas services. And hear the rest of the story. We heard a part of it today. Half of the ninth resurrectional gospel, which is about St. Thomas. We'll hear the other half next week. So do plan on coming to the vigil and to the liturgy. And it would be very appropriate for you to commune also on that day. Do not get back to the world too quickly. This is the eighth day. All of Pascha, all of Bright Week is one day. Liturgically, it's one day. although it's much more than 24 hours, it is one day. And you should live it as it is one day. So don't get too quickly back to the world. I just read a sermon by St. Gregory Palamas in which he speaks about the eighth day and the seventh day and how the seventh day is superior, the day that the Lord rested. Well, the day that the Lord rested is the Sabbath. And then on the Sabbath, while his body was resting in the tomb, his soul, his human soul, with his divinity, was ravaging hell. So he was resting in body, but not in spirit. And so we should rest. Give our body a little bit of rest, but do not give rest to contemplation about God. I've recently been given some advice, and I'll be honest with you, this is confessional, I don't follow this advice that well. I struggle to. I'm more of a doer of things. When I pray, I want to pray for someone. When I read something, I always think about, what can I say to my flock about this? It's hard for me to read something without a pencil in hand or on the computer so that I can write notes. And that's fine and well, but you must also have time for, I guess I can't rebuke that person, it's my wife. You must take time to rest in the resurrection. It is very, very important. Rest in the resurrection. I advise you to spend time today, tomorrow, even if it is only 5 minutes, to sit down or stand and to contemplate the Lord. I would say, when I do it, I say the Jesus Prayer, or I just sit and try to be in God and God in me. It's a very important thing. I'm not asking you to do any fantasy exercises. That's something that the West does. But you must be able to rest. The whole point of our labor is so that we can rest. It's not so that we can go on working. In heaven, there will not be labor. There will be doing of things, learning of things, ever mounting up like eagles. But it will not be labor like we have labor in the world, which is often arduous and difficult. Even our Pascha vigil, let's be honest with ourselves. Did anybody feel really completely with vim and vigor at 2:30 in the morning when you still knew that there was, at least another half hour or hour of the liturgy? It's very difficult to feel so strong after you've been laboring so much. And I'm not even talking about the physical labor, the spiritual labor. But in heaven, it will all be without labor. So let's try to experience a little bit of that now. I know that's not a very, there's not a lot of detail in what I'm telling you to do, and that's because there is no detail to give. You must learn to rest in God. It's a difficult thing to do. I know personally that it's a hard thing to do. It's a relatively easy thing to do, to read the Psalter, to read the Gospels, to attend the church services, to serve the services, to visit the sick, to visit those in prison. Those are things that we should do as Christians. But we also must be able to receive the grace that God is giving us now. And this is a grace-filled week. When the Lord wants to give you some rest, He wants to give you some consolation. So, when you read the gospel, read it with an idea that the Lord is trying to console you. There's much consolation in St. John's gospel, more, I think, than any of the other gospels. This week also, do continue to pray for others, or start if you are not in the habit. We must remember to pray for others. It is a golden chain that links us with grace and keeps us from straying too far away from God. God doesn't put it on us. We must put it on God with our prayer. Very important to pray for others. Do not forget this. You don't have to make it arduous. You could just, maybe if you're in the custom of praying for others with a certain rule, then it could be a lesser rule. Just to say the Jesus Prayer for each person that you love. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon Athanasios. That's all. Your family, your friends, people who are not your friends, they're even more important. Your pastor. It shouldn't be too long a list. But you should remember to pray for people. And that's part of what the quietness in God will be. Because that's a hard thing to do. I know by personal experience. It's hard to pray for people. It's easy to say your prayers, to do this, to do that. And praying for people is a difficult thing. You have to be wise as a serpent in order to pray for people. Maybe you do it in the car when you're driving. Maybe you do it first thing in the morning. I found that if I delay any, it might be the thing that gets left off at the end of the day, even though I've been busy doing things that are important all day. I did not remember to pray, or didn't pray with enough attention about people. If it's at 10:30 at night, I'm tired, something seems to be lacking. So do remember to pray for people. If you don't understand how to do this, talk to me about it. It's very, very important. Basically, when I tell you some of these things, I'm telling you the mistakes I've made and the things I've learned. I think that's why that no priest should be ordained when they're in their 20s. Well, you know, I was ordained in my 30s, and I still didn't know a lot of things, but I learned, and there's still things to learn. So I'm telling you from my experience, pray for others during this week. Eat everything you want, but not too much. Say the Paschal Hours. Plan. Say, I am going to go to church next week. St. Thomas Sunday is the forgotten Sunday of the year. It should be a very important Sunday. Like I said, as a pastor, I think it's the most important because I think it's a test of whether or not we're receiving God's grace. Of course, Pascha is the Feast of Feasts, but St. Thomas Sunday is a continuation of Pascha. So you should not leave in the middle of the feast. I don't think any one of us would go to a basketball game and when the score is tied in the fourth quarter and there's 5 minutes left, leave. We wouldn't do that. The whole point of going to the game was to see the outcome, and when it's exciting, we would stay. St. Thomas is part of the continuation of Pascha, much, much more important than a basketball game. One other practical thing, in our prayers, we don't say, O Heavenly King, anymore. Not until Pentecost. And the reason we don't is to draw attention to the fact that the apostles were waiting for the Holy Spirit after the resurrection. There's something very important in this waiting time. The apostles believed that the Lord was risen. They were of one accord and they were talking and praying together all night and all day. But they were still weak. They were still not ready to go out against the Jews because they were afraid. And then when Pentecost came, they became bold. 3,000 men on one day were converted to Christ because of the boldness of the apostles and especially of Peter. So that's also describes our life. So when we don't say the O Heavenly King, awaiting the Holy Spirit, as it were, we have the Holy Spirit. So we're not playing any kind of psychological game here. But we are reminding ourselves that without the Holy Spirit, there is no power. There is no essence of Christianity. Because knowledge and strength and power and bravery come from the Holy Spirit. So we're awaiting. Instead of, O Heavenly King, we always substitute Christ is risen 3 times. So don't say, O Heavenly King, but do say your prayers. May God bless you and help you in all things. Let me thank some people. I think that the flowers were just magnificent this year. I want to thank Deborah for help, for doing so much, and her labors. May God reward you for them. And, you know, since I'm sitting in the big chair, I get to say this. You don't get to make me stop, so I can do it. I know you wouldn't want me to mention your name, but I did. So there. Also, I thought the choir was absolutely otherworldly beautiful last night. There were some things that were sung that made me cry. They were amazing. Very, very beautiful. Lot of labor. I thank our choir directors, our choir mistresses, of course, Genevieve and Gabrielle, and our sort of unsung, sort of in the background choir mistress, Natalia. You sing so well together, and it was so beautiful. I had the distracting thought sometimes during the service, oh, I should go record that, you know, but I was doing other things. But very, very beautiful. There was an immense amount of labor to get the church ready. Cleaning of the church, cleaning of the church grounds, the ongoing work that has to be done. And you all know who you are. There's an enormous amount. I thought I would single out the choir because everyone heard the choir and I think would agree with me. And the flowers, because everyone sees the flowers and sees how beautiful they are and how much labor it must have taken to get them situated and arranged and rearranged and rearranged. But really we are a small church. We are a little flock, but we should not fear because we are family. And so I'm very grateful for that. This church is not that old. This is only our second Pascha. And with God helping, we're growing just a little bit. I think we'll reach, with God helping us, sort of what I call critical mass. Maybe it doesn't sound that pious, but I want us to pass the hit-by-a-bus test. And what the hit-by-a-bus test is, if I was hit by a bus, will we be fine? We're almost there, I think. Not that I'm indispensable, but poor Father Nicholas, I don't think he really wants all this responsibility right away. He might want to wait a little while. So we're growing a little bit in every way that is measurable, but also spiritually. So please remember to pray during this Paschal Bright Week season. It's very important. Go ahead and eat sausage, but also pray. Very important. Not too much sausage and not too much prayer. Moderate in both. Okay? All right. May God bless you and help you in all things. Yeah.